Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise to help us grow our businesses. My name is Gary Lafty, your host and founder of the Authority Accelerators, where we help drive revenue for tech leaders by taking them and excelling them into the authority realm rather than just being another expert. This episode, I couldn't be more pleased to have Marion with me. We are going to be talking all things tech and building companies and actually helping other companies grow. So if you've got a great product or your service and you're wondering how is the best way to grow your company, perhaps stick around for this whole episode because we're going to have some great insights. So without further ado, Marion, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Why don't we start off by you introducing yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here. And hello to everyone who is listening or watching this episode. I'm Marion. I'm the founder of Attesto. I consider myself a technologist. I have a background in machine learning and computer science. And I went from being a developer and machine learning scientist to an entrepreneur, to an operator and product leader, and then back again to an entrepreneur. So it's been a journey so far.
Well, I can't wait to dig into that journey and then dig more about your expertise and your insights today as a founder of a company. But let's dial it back a little bit for our listeners and those who are watching. Can you tell us and share a little bit more about your journey? How did you go from being a machine learning technologist to launching Attesto? And what inspired you to start that company?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, the reason I actually got into machine learning in early 2000, where not many people were thinking about AI and machine learning at that point, was because I was fascinated at a time with science fiction and what could be possible. So I got into that at that point and I got very interested. Then I started a company in 2008 that was actually helping multi-channel retailers with AI and machine learning to help their customers better. It was very early for the market, but we had some great success there. And then after that, I moved on and became more of a product leader. And I worked at rather larger companies, you know, companies that were, you know, about like 1,000 people, not, you know, super large company, but still sizable companies. Then at my last role before leaving the corporate world, I was actually in charge of the product team at a later stage startup. And in a very short period of time, we were going through a very rapid growth stage where we were hiring a lot of new team members. And as a result, I was spending quite a bit of my time as an operator, as an executive, with hiring. We were very creative with the talent acquisition team, but it was very time consuming and it was very challenging. So afterwards, you know, when I was looking at different problems that I wanted to solve, and again, as a machine learning and a technologist, I want to solve real world problems. I felt like the nature of work is changing. There are going to be more fractional, contractors, and there are going to be employees that are going to be in and out of jobs. So the churn rates are going to be higher. So this is a bigger problem. So how can we solve this? With the advances of AI and also the changes in the user behavior and the fact that companies are now more ready to adopt AI in their workflows, this is actually a great opportunity to really take care of all those mundane tasks and put AI agents into work to really, because one of the great things is not just the efficiency and reducing the cost, but also helping all the employees that are going through these tasks to avoid burnout. So these are some of the reasons.
So this is really exciting. I can't wait to dive more into this, Marion, because as you say, you can't have a tech podcast without talking AI. And, you know, we're going to dive in and out of AI. But for those who haven't heard of Attesto before, could you give us a brief summary of what is exactly you bring to the marketplace and how it actually helps your clients?
Fantastic. So we are providing service. So we are providing service, and the service we are providing is an on-demand help with their hiring operations. So we work with mid-size and larger companies where, you know, they have a number of open roles and they receive on a daily basis, they receive thousands of applications. They have to reach out to these applicants, figure out who are the good ones, make sure that it's a proper candidate experience. They would nourish their talent pipeline. So it involves a lot of tasks at scale. So we have trained AI agents that we would embed in their workflows and would work with their team members and would help them with getting these tasks done. So for example, it would interact with the hiring manager. It would understand what he or she is looking for. It would post the job description. It would go through the applications that are coming in or the old applications that the company has received. And maybe there would be someone in there good for the job. It would reach out to the candidate. It would get the feedback from the hiring manager and would schedule the interview. So like doing a lot of tasks with the hiring manager, with the recruiter that is also really focusing on the talent strategy. And instead of doing a lot of mundane tasks, now recruiters are going to be able to focus on the humane aspect and establishing that human connection with the talent.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fascinating and something that which has been needed for such a long time because, yes, recruiting is such a headache. It doesn't matter what size company you are, whether you're a small size company or a mid or even enterprise. The actual process of hiring somebody and all that, as you say, the mundane tasks, they do tend to take a lot of time away. And I'm really glad to hear, you know, start something like this and bring AI into this particular field. So with regard to AI and staying on AI, we all know that AI has come on in leaps and bounds. Every single month, it almost, you know, it exceeds its expectations. What is coming down the turnpike, as far as you can see, regarding AI in your industry?
So what has come to...
What is coming down in the future? What can you see that's coming in the future in AI that will be great for your industry or any other industry that you feel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, with the development that we see in the foundational models, so our company is not in the business of building those foundational models. So we would use models that are provided by likes of OpenAI. However, we provide the platform and the infrastructure for training them for specific use cases that our customers have, really fine-tuning them for those needs. And then also taking advantage of all the data and the knowledge that the company has to providing feedback to these models, also providing like a lot of integrations so that these models and these agents are actually working within their workflows. So it's working within their application tracking system, within their Slack. So instead of them having to go in different platforms to getting tasks done, we just interact with them in Slack, for example, or in email, and go in there and get things done. So with the advances that we are seeing, we would be able to do more and more specialized tasks at pretty high accuracy and at scale. So we are basically providing the service, and the better the models are going to get, the better service we are going to be able to provide.
Yeah, got it. So let's talk about myths. There's always, with AI has come on in such leaps and bounds, and you know, it doesn't matter if you're a small company or you're VC backed or a massive enterprise, AI is playing a massive part in business today. What would you say, especially when it comes to the hiring side of things? So if there's people who are listening that are in the hiring department or, you know, they're thinking about hiring and using AI, what is the biggest misconception they have and what is it that they should really know? What would you want them to know about using a service like yours or AI within their hiring process?
I mean, I'm so happy that you're asking these questions. There are myths and misconceptions, but for good reasons. And hiring has been a problem for such a long time. It's not a new problem. And it's been years that companies are coming in and they say they have AI solutions and they're going to help companies with their AI solutions and get better at, you know, hiring, doing it faster, finding the right candidates and so forth. However, there have been a lot of problems. It has been, you know, we've had biases and we've had like misses, you know, whether there were like cultural biases that were introduced by AI. And there has been this sense of like mistrust. And then right now, with the hype that we see, because everyone wants to add an AI, like a sprinkle of AI into their solution, a lot of companies claim that, okay, well, I mean, sure, there is a little bit of AI in there, but how they are approaching the problem, that's what makes a big difference. And just because there had been problems in the past, it doesn't mean that AI is at fault. Like, think about it as like using software solutions, right? You could build bad software, you build good software, right? Maybe in the past, like there were some problems, like with the faulty software for a problem. It doesn't mean that software at core is the problem. So there are myths that we have to encounter, and there is also being realistic. So you can't expect like a model to just come in, you know, the agent come into an organization and without any calibration, without any using like a past data, like out of the box, do a magic as a recruiter. So you have to be realistic as well. Like when you're hiring a new recruiter, for example, or you're hiring a new team member, you spend time with onboarding, right? And then after that time, you expect this person to be productive. So you have to have some level of, you know, kind of being like realistic when it comes to AI as well. I mean, things are going to get better. We could have pre-trained models, but that is also another important fact. Like you can't like expend, not spending any time and then seeing magic.
Yeah, that makes total sense, doesn't it? You've got to put the time and effort in to make sure that the results you want come out the way you wanted. And I love that analogy. If you're bringing on a team member, you've still got to give it training. You've still got to have that embedding time. You've still got to nurture them to get the best out of them. And AI is very, very similar. You can't just expect them to come with something. If you want the best out of them, nurture them, train them, let them get on with it, and let them learn from that. It's the fascinating stuff. So I want to talk more about your growing the company. Predominantly, those who are listening to us here on the podcast are entrepreneurs at different levels of their entrepreneurial journey. And we all know that building a business, a successful business, is never a straight line. It's never one from A to Z. There's always this big bowl of spaghetti that we have to, challenges we have to deal with. Can you share with us a challenge that you faced when growing Attesto and how you overcame it?
We are still overcoming. I mean, it's still a young company and we are still testing different approaches. I mean, again, it's not my first venture, but some of the challenges, I think one of the main challenges that is not unique to what we experienced at Attesto or other companies is finding that unique positioning and the messaging for your audience. So if you don't have that, you could have the best marketing campaign, right? Like the highest conversion. You could have a lot of traffic to your website. Even they book a demo and then you might not have a conversion, right? Because what you're offering is not what they're looking for. Or there might be like something is missing there that they don't relate to, or they have like a problem. So just spending the time going through that journey to kind of understand what is it that you're offering and kind of really have that empathy for your customer and user. What's it that they're looking for? What's their immediate kind of pain that they are trying to solve? Like, what are some of their emotions that are involved? So kind of understanding that is key, because without that understanding, sure, you might have some success with the growth, but it's not going to take you too far, right? So I think that's key. And we've been spending like good time to get there. While we did that, and we started like kind of adjusting even our, you know, messaging on our website, even by doing that, without spending any money on, search engine ads, we started getting leads on our website because it was to the point, messaging was to the point, it was like something that our customers are looking for. So they're like searching us, found us, you know, they're coming to our website, and these are our leads. So I think that is key. Then it becomes that, okay, but now that you have the right messaging, how are you gonna actually communicate that to your customer? Where are they? What would be the right sort of presentation that would be effective for them? And it's very different from one group of audience to another. So for one group, it might be, you know, doing a lot on social media. For another group, it could actually, the ads could help. You know, for us, we realized that having some of the recruiters and recruiting agencies that started using us, using our services, them being ambassadors are being pretty effective. So they actually introduce us to their clients, and that has become pretty effective. So that's like one of our channels you know, just again, having the right messaging and the content on LinkedIn and being a thought leader could help there for us. Haven't, again, we don't believe like just spending money on ads, online ads would help us as much. So again, it's really important for your business, for your audience, what works, and spending the time and to be like kind of laser focused to identify that.
I think it's, I think that you gave so many great insights there, Marion. I want to just sort of dissect a few really, because you went off and you were like, yeah, this and this, and it was fascinating to hear you talk about it. But one of the things that caught my ear straight away when you were mentioning it is you could have the best website, you could be the best lead generator, but if you don't have a messaging service, you don't have a messaging power or a way to convert them into paying clients, then effectively all that is wasted. I think we tend to hear that it's all lead generation. Everything's about lead generation. The more leads I have, the more successful I'm going to be. But that is just like throwing seeds on the ground. You need a way to convert them in a way that they see value in what you do. And I think that's such a key element there to growing a business. It's leads and conversion. You've got to be able to. And actually, you can reduce your lead generation costs if you increase your conversion into sales costs. And it's something which, especially with tech, who are very much the tech industry, who tends to be very product or service led rather than sort of the sales led. So it's a really, really good point you made there. The other point you are making is making sure that you are standing out and getting your message out there. So how important do you feel is personal branding and authority positioning for tech founders today?
I think it's definitely important. I mean, a lot of times the customers are looking at us as sort of consultants as well. A lot of times I get on the call and they also start asking questions about some other solutions that it's not like our competitor, but like, okay, what is my opinion on that? Or how would be like the best to handle that? So I think establishing that sense of trust, especially early on for the company, is important. With something that is new, like using AI in their workflows, because a lot of our customers, this is the first time that they are effectively using AI in their operations. Or maybe they just started like, you know, in the past like few months. So it's still pretty new for them. And they have a sort of concerns around like privacy and security and the candidate experience. You know, there are things that they know from the past. There are regulations that are in place or coming. So they have these questions, and it's very important to be able to answer them. So that authoritative voice is key, but also it's important to be knowledgeable and not just have that authoritative voice, right? Because you wanna make sure that what you're saying actually makes sense and it's something that they can rely on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because the more and more companies today are looking for partners and authoritative. Everyone's an expert. This is the challenge, is everybody's an expert in tech. It doesn't matter if you're in AI, you're in cybersecurity, everybody's an expert. So one of the ways to stand above, what we're certainly hearing from other people who are being successful, is they are using that authoritative voice. They are using that authoritative positioning where, you know, using things like podcasts, using things like white papers and publishing to make sure they stand a head and shoulders above their competition. Because unfortunately, no matter how unique we think we are, the public, the buying public out there just hears the same of things over and over again. And you've got to break through that noise. So I'm really, really glad you've said that, Marion. So we've talked about what's worked for you and, you know, and growth and whatnot. But like everything else, we all try something that didn't work when it came to growing our company. All right. So what was something that you tried in marketing or the growth of your company that didn't really go as expected?
Reach outs, just doing a, like reach outs, whether using AI for reach outs. You know, there are like a number of tools out there right now, you know, AI agents for basically sales and BD. So they would reach out to like a contact list or like a potential prospect in different ways, in email, LinkedIn, message, to see, you know, if you could generate a lead, or even me personally, or using these like automated tools to kind of use my own name and then just reach out to these individuals. That's something that we haven't had much success with. People are just slammed. And the same people, interestingly, that we reached out They didn't respond, but probably didn't even notice that message. But they came to us, and when I asked them, because we know that we reached out to them and didn't get any response, but when they booked a demo, I asked, okay, how did you hear about us? And they said, oh, we read about you in Reddit because there was a candidate that used Attesto, that Attesto interaction, and talked about it in Reddit. And, they read about it in Reddit, and then they looked up the website and they booked a demo. So it's interesting. Like, the reach out does not work for us just because it's a crowded market. It's a crowded market, and not just for AI solutions, like anything, like solutions for HR. It's a big market. It's crowded. A lot of people are kind of spamming people. So that's not working. And we sort of stopped that.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. As you said, it's a very noisy, especially like you say, with AI. AI can just go out there and do this multi-reach. It's unpersonal, it's unauthentic, and it doesn't seem to work. But just quickly, you mentioned Reddit. How are you, Reddit, we're hearing more and more and more now. How are you using, if you don't mind sharing, how are you using Reddit to grow your company? And what success are you having with that?
We're looking into it. We haven't done anything focused, Gary. We are also fascinated. I'm personally not I have a Reddit account, but I don't use Reddit on a regular basis. I'm not an avid Reddit user. But when I started hearing from people that, oh, we heard about you in Reddit, I'm like, oh, this is fun. What's happening? So we are kind of looking into it. Like, does it make sense to have ads? But again, our customers are really interested in what others are saying, or what other opinions. So they might not like ads as much. So we are thinking about, okay, how can we leverage Reddit in an authentic way? We have some ideas. We haven't really tested out anything yet, but it is certainly interesting what's happening with Reddit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, Mary, you've shared so many insights with us. I've got one more question for you before we finish today. It's a loaded question. It's a question I generally tend to ask more of my guests. If you could give young Miriam one piece of advice when it comes to being a successful founder, and it doesn't matter how young Mariam, you could be at school, you could be at college, you could be just as you're starting your journey. If you could give one piece of advice to young Mariam about becoming a successful founder, what would it be?
It's something that I'm still working on it, but I would tell her trust herself, trust her gut more.
Yeah. Yes. More. Just do it more. Because you're gonna have a certain bit of trust, haven't you?
Right.
Well,
exactly.
I think that's a fantastic. Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that's been a great place to end this interview. Mariam, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. Thank you so much for your time and your insights that you shared with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you, and thanks for the opportunity.
So if people want to get hold of you, Mariam, and potentially work with you or help with their recruitment, what's the best way they can do that?
My email address and then also my LinkedIn profile.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that those are in the show notes so that people could just click straight through and come straight through to you.
Fantastic.
So thank you. It's been really great. I'm sure people are going to be approaching you because you've got so much there to share. So thank you again. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for yet another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. Hopefully, like me, you would have had and picked up some great insights from Mariam here today. And if you have, please make sure you like and maybe put down in the comment what you learned so that other people can actually learn from that as well. But more importantly, please make sure you share. This is how we grow together. And this is the whole mission of this podcast, is to help tech founders and tech entrepreneurs grow. So until next time, keep striving and keep being profitable. Bye-bye. See you next time.